This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Eye on College Basketball podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Eye on College Basketball podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Accountability, fire, and accountability. I thought it was the biggest travesty in sports that Eric Bieniemy did not get a head coaching job. Nobody with his resume never got a chance to be a head coach, and I'm glad he's back in the NFL. But the accountability and the fire that he'll bring to that sideline and to those offensive meetings is desperately needed in the NFL, and I'm sure you guys will be better for it.
This hour brought to you by Cars for Kids.
It is, as we broadcast live through the Hyundai Score Studios, because we are live from Wings and Rings on the south side, 3434 South Halstead, open 7 days a week. The crowd is starting to filter in at a first pitch this afternoon. It is the south side's premier sports restaurant experience. Come by, enjoy an ice-cold Yingling before the game, brought to you by Yingling. Yingling, America's oldest brewery. There is free shuttle service to all the White Sox home games with proof of purchase, free parking in the back. And every day on Wednesdays at Wings and Rings, you can get $5 premium drinks all day. Good stuff. So Eric Bieniemy, now the running backs coach with the Chicago Bears. And Bieniemy was on their official podcast that came out. We all want to hear his thoughts on just not only what he sees in this Bears team, but get to know him more since he was such a popular name for so many years. So let's listen in on how he describes his style of coaching.
It's all about getting to know the people that you're working with, but on top of that, developing the relationships, but on and finding out their limits and how to push them and get the very, very best out of them. And like I always tell young men when I'm coaching them, I said, listen, I'm going to coach you hard. I also coach fair. I'm going to be your biggest advocate when you do it the right way. But it ain't personal.
Yeah,
I'm coaching that behavior that you put on tape, because that behavior is, at some point in time, if it's not done the right way, we can impact a game. We can also cause somebody an injury or whatever. So we want to make sure that we're doing things fundamentally, all right, the right way, but also making sure that we understand that accountability goes a long way in this industry. And if we can be accountable, now we got a chance to grow. Now we have a chance to become a winning organization.
I got to ask you what your definition of hard coaching is. Because some players like it, yeah. Some don't. Some want it, some deal with it. Yeah. I mean, it's all different across the rainbow.
And it's basically challenging your guys more than anything, just to get the very best out of them. And more than anything, just demanding a certain type of ethic. It's going to be a code in how we handle ourselves. You know, I'm from the old school. I always tell them, if you don't work, you don't eat. All right? And if we're not eating, we're not giving ourselves a chance to be the best that we can be. So it's important that we understand there's going to be an imaginary sign outside that door every single day that says hiring all applicants. Because if we're applying ourselves, that means we're not wasting any opportunities. We have to learn how to make sure that we're not taking anything for granted. And if we're not taking anything for granted, we're doing the very most of it because now we're learning to make second effort a habit. And if we're playing with that second effort, now we're giving ourselves a chance not only to be the best running back group, but we're giving ourselves a chance to be the best team. Because if we put that infectious behavior on tape, players are going to want to follow that.
So I appreciate him discussing his style, because if you hear other players talk about him, it's a little different. He spent 1 year with Washington, then spends a year at UCLA. I remember when it was discussed, that exit from UCLA prior to coming to the Bears, it was said this was mutually agreed upon, that this was something that was discussed. And the way they had to phrase it was in a way where people, I think, in response to saying, was he let go or was it something more abrupt? But either way, you knew something was off when you saw the language. Now, there are guys who say things like, he's a tough love coach. You know, Adrian Peterson has talked about him being tough, but also having that love part. We've heard other criticisms of him when it comes to how that manifests in his coaching style. When you hear, what do you hear?
I hear an old school coach talking old school values as far as how people need to be coached up, held accountable. And I think any player that has a problem with what he described, they have a problem, because that's how coaching goes. Now, I will say this. He said he coaches fair, right? Well, that's subjective, because you're the coach. Someone is also being coached, and they can also determine whether they think what you do is fair or not. I'm sure Matt Eberflus thinks he coaches fair, right? What coach doesn't think they coach fair?
Right.
And so are you getting the feedback from your players? Because every player is different in how they receive coaching. And are you taking the feedback that you get from your players under advisement and adopting different methods with different people? It's not unlike managing people in other jobs, other sectors. Different people can be treated differently, but it can still be fair because everyone isn't equal when you're talking about who's being coached, who's being managed, however you want to put it. And so for Eric Bieniemy, what he described is great. Now, if he ruffled feathers because of the way he coaches, because some guys, you know, we live in this more than ever, guys are coming up and being coddled on the way to greatness. You know, you can get to the NFL and be challenged and push yourself, but not want to take coaching from certain guys or in a certain manner.
Curious. You can transfer.
Yeah.
You don't have to work with that head coach that you thought you were going to be with, which I think is more than fair. I like that part of it.
No, find what works for you. But also, if you're only coaching one way, that can rub some people the wrong way.
It can. And when you consider the quotes from Adrian Peterson where he says, you never felt like it was just him trying to call you out or embarrass you or anything like that. Sure, it's Adrian Peterson, you know, so I think about that part of it too. He was stern, but I think it was to a point where it was all out of love. And it's a difference because you have some coaches that it's stern and just blank. And when I say blank, there's a euphemism for jerks there. You know what I'm trying to say. But Coach EB, he was never telling you anything wrong. And when you look back, he was right. I should have did this better. I should have finished better. Or, you know, that was a poor read. We always had a respect for him, too, because he played. And we know all the success he had at Colorado. So, I mean,
Peterson is of a certain age where he knows, but do the other guys know? Guys now at UCLA and these other places?
I would qualify Peterson as an old school person like that when it comes to how he came up and how he talks about coming up and then the news that he's made. Like that's a little more of an old school mentality.
The court cases he's been a part of.
Right, exactly. But it's somebody who spoke on this, so consider the source and consider that quote. There's also the part of this where he called him out. Like, he called out DeAndre Swift, which I thought was pretty interesting. Now, valid to note here that Swift averaged a career low in yards per carry at 3.8 this past season.
But how much of that was the blocking? How much of that was the scheming? How much of that was the play calling? That's the question you have to ask yourself.
Well, that's how I feel. So the quote, to me, he was a function of a bad offense. Because if you're using that guy properly, that's not the case with him. You know, he does have a body of work, but this is it. Quote, now more than anything, we've got to make sure that Swift understands that he can find 4.5 yards between the tackles, but also hit the home run when he needs to.
4.5 yards between the tackles, huh?
And that is a
you see a lot of that last
discussion.
Year? Saw a lot less than 4.5 yards between the tackles.
3.8 yards per carry for him last year. He only had 4 runs gained more than 20 yards.
Again, those don't even sound like home runs. Those sound like doubles.
When you put it onto a baseball term like that, that is indeed the case. I know we have a little bit more from Eric Bieniemy as well, so let's listen in. What does he think of that current running back situation?
I feel pretty good about the group. I've had an opportunity to watch DeAndre, spent some time with DeAndre when he came out, during the draft, so I know all about him. A very, very hardworking kid that doesn't take anything for granted. He loves to work. Now, more than anything, we just got to make sure that he understands that he can find 4.5 in between the tackles, but also hit the home run when he needs to. But he's a great young man that works his tail off. Roshan, young up-and-coming player, big kid, plays hard, doesn't take anything for granted, looking forward to working with him. Travis is by far, first of all, he brings a tremendous amount of energy. He does a hell of a job on special teams. He's a four-phase guy, you know, which you love that about him because you can't have enough of those team players. And then we got a young kid by the name of Ian who's coming off of
Ian injury. Wheeler.
And Ian, I mean, just
terrific preseason.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And he showed flashes. So we want to see exactly what all we can continue to develop with him and see how he grows. So I'm excited about the group.
So you hear inside there that quote that we discuss. And it's funny to hear me read it, and it's funnier to hear him say it, because even there you hear a difference.
Well, yeah, what he's emphasizing when he talks about it, the way he's joking around, talking about RB1 as it stands today, and DeAndre Swift. Listen, he's trying to work with what he has. I think what he has is going to change in a few weeks. And then we can revisit how he feels about that running back room.
Roshan Johnson?
That's the first time I've heard Roshan Johnson's name in a long time.
But deserves to be discussed in this.
Well, I mean, he's part of the running back room, but what did he do to impress you when he came back with that Guardian cap? Like, the lasting image of him for me was him with the Guardian cap not doing a whole lot. And I'm not saying that's his fault because, again, the offensive line, the scheme, the play calling.
I thought he shouldn't have even been out there. If you have to wear a Guardian cap, and you should.
I don't think he had to. I think he just chose to. I think most of the guys, no one's saying you have to, I mean, wear a Guardian cap. There's studies out there that say it doesn't even help. So,
But I'm all for you doing what you need to protect yourself more. But I also think that if there's even a question, take yourself out. That's how I felt.
I think he felt good enough to play, and he was just like, I want to make sure I have all the security in the world. So I'm good with that. I think the DeAndre Swift thing is interesting because are they drafting and adding a running back to supplant him or to supplement him? Which one is it? That's the biggest question I have about the running back room.
Well, and it's really difficult to not think of what happened to him in Detroit.
The fact that he was released and Ben Johnson was on the coaching staff? Yeah. And we don't know who made that decision? Yeah.
He ends up in Philadelphia, and I understand that, you know, coaching regimes, and we probably haven't talked about just the sheer bigger piece of the fact that they will reshape your roster. Even when you have the same GM, a coach is going to come in and say, I can't work with this person, I can work with this one. We know that there's a lot of hope and a lot of optimism behind Roshan Johnson. Even when he got drafted, it was, he was playing behind the best running back in the country in Bijan Robinson. That made sense to everybody. But you're also asking more of him at this level. So how is that going to take shape? The Bears need a downhill runner. And I don't know if he's trying to make DeAndre Swift into one when he says that. Sure sounds that way to me. or if they're trying to say that they need that presence overall. He said him, but I just don't know that you can change an individual's makeup like that.
I think there's probably more meat on the bone, in his opinion, between the tackles, and that's what he was alluding to when he said that. And he kind of laughed it off also to let you know that, you know, he wasn't saying that he wasn't good at being a running back. There's just certain things that he can work on based on what he's seen from the tape. And we've seen the tape too, Layla. I mean, we know that he was not as effective if he wasn't bouncing outside and had something on the edge.
Yeah, that's how I felt. But was it a function of just what he was seeing and what at that point the offense was allowing him to do via the game plan against the defense? Or was it his natural style now that he's with this team? Like, both things deserve to be discussed. What I think about if they could possibly take a tight end, you know, could they, maybe in one of the top four 72 overall picks that they have, is that somebody who you want to be multiple? Can that tight end perhaps run? Would that add a make the same things look different things look the same aspect?
So you want a tight end coming out of the backfield?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, how do you spell this? How do you try to supplement what you have on your roster, at least committed for another 2 years in theory in that contract?
I like the Bears have given Ben Johnson this sort of blank check moment. You have no history with the Bears. The only history I know about you is an up-and-coming coach who then became an offensive coordinator who had arguably the best offense in football during your time, your span as an offensive coordinator for the Lions. So I'm willing to say, okay, I'll ride with you. It's like when you jump in the car with somebody, and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna make a few stops," and of course you want to know, well, where are we going, but also sometimes you'll be like, "All right," and you just don't care. I don't care. I trust the driver in this situation, but if he makes a few too many stops, and I'm like, "Bro, I'm hungry. Can we go get something to eat?" It's like, I got to make a few more stops. At some point, you're gonna be like, "Hey, what's good? Stop. I need to get this burger real quick."
But I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking about how we probably haven't just simply accounted for more roster turnover because there's a new head coach. Like, that's just a simple fact of the NFL. And if you're looking at it from not inside the city, how are you looking at that? You would probably think, oh, yeah, Ben Johnson's got a lot of cleaning up to do. Like, there's probably going to be a lot of guys who get cut and aren't on that team anymore. That's just naturally what happens. But we haven't really seen that yet. We've just seen the additions.
Because we're wondering still about that initial audit. Who does he believe can help him win next season versus what's out there to be gotten? And we're not going to know that, let's be honest, till the end of training camp when final cuts are made. But it's interesting to see who gets cut immediately and who you might have thought, oh, they're definitely not back. Oh, they're still on this roster. Interesting. Or they got re-signed.
Yeah, exactly. Or they didn't get traded.
Exactly.
Which is a fate that can befell Swift. So that's something I consider as well. We have more coming up here on the Midday Show, live from Wings and Rings on the South Side. I love it every time. It's like a magic cue. Every time I say that, people clap, and then it's great. Let's try it again. Wings and Rings on the South Side. Hey! Love it. Okay, we're getting ready for 3 o'clock. First pitch here on the South Side. And like I said, we have more coming up baseball-wise, but we shift gears a little bit. We talk a little NCAA hoops. PJ Glasser from the BetMGM Network, the show Send It In and Inside the Betting Lines. He will get us ready for tournament action coming up next on The Score.